The Shore Sheen Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Hi, everybody. This is Bill Cloud, and welcome to this Torah tidbit, which is going to be taken from the Torah portion called Behar, which literally means on the mount or on the mountain. And it's referring to when God spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, of course. And so we read, beginning in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 1, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, Behar, or on Mount Sinai, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, When you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall have a Sabbath, or shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord." Now, this, of course, is speaking of the Shemitah, which is a sabbatical year or a seventh year in a seven-year cycle whereby the land of Israel was to rest, and it was not to be tilled by the owner or by anyone else for that matter. Now, I should point out that this was a command that was given to Israel once they had come into and were possessing the land of promise. And so in some ways, this particular instruction was to the land of the covenant what Shabbat was to the people of the covenant. And in both cases, what we see or what we should learn is that the God of Israel is the primary force in the universe. He's the one who sets the rules, not Mother Nature. We also see that there is a definite connection between the people and the land. I mean, consider that all of us came from the soil, from the dust of the earth. And so it would seem logical, at least to me, that there would be this connection between people and the land, specifically His people and that land. Frankly, I'm convinced that when it comes to the land of Israel, there's something in the dirt. And whatever that something is, it responds favorably to God's people when God's people are there and are living in a way that is honorable to God. And I don't believe that's so far-fetched as it may sound, because Scripture points out that when the people of Israel were in the land and when they were obeying God, then the land would provide for their needs. And when they disobeyed, the land would not. In Leviticus 26, it says this, "If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season, and the land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely." And so these passages make it very clear that the soil, the dirt, the ground responds to our obedience or to our disobedience. If we bear good fruit, so to speak, that is keeping His commands, if we're faithful to the covenant, then the ground that we came from will also bear good fruit. And of course, the opposite is true too. When we do not bear good fruit, the ground we came from will respond in like manner. So when we walk in obedience, we will experience the rain as a blessing. For without the rain, there would be famine. There would be no produce. So the rain should be regarded and is regarded as a blessing of obedience, which then leads to another blessing. Your threshing shall reach unto vintage, it says. In other words, your fields will be so blessed that they're going to produce grain until the time to harvest your grapes comes upon you. And then you're going to be so occupied with gathering grapes, that's going to last until it's time to sow next year's grain. You're going to be a very busy person if you're a blessed person. In fact, the prophet Amos speaks of a time like this in chapter 9, verse 13. He says this, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it." So based on what we have learned, this scenario that Amos describes, I believe would suggest one where God's people are keeping God's instructions. They're being faithful to the covenant. And so then, consequently, the land of the covenant responds in like manner. Also consider that in all of the activity that's precipitated by these blessings, you know, rain, the grain, the vintage, and now it's time to sow again, those blessings bring about another blessing. When people are busy and active, they feel more fulfilled, and their health is better. On the other hand, when we're not busy, we tend to seek amusement and stimulation, and most often than not, in all of the wrong places. Now, in my view, that's probably, well, exactly what happened in Genesis 6, specifically when it says that the sons of God decided to coexist with the daughters of men. The end result of their disobedience was a corrupted earth. And so it reads in Genesis 6, verses 11 and 12, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And so God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. Why? For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth." So in these verses, notice that the earth, or the land, if I may, was corrupt because man was corrupt. The ground responded to man's disobedience. No wonder Paul tells us that the creation is earnestly anticipating the revealing of the sons of God. And because, Paul says, it wants to be free of its bondage of corruption. It wants to be liberated. And so it needs the sons of God to walk in obedience if that's going to happen. The point of all this, it's to demonstrate that there is this connection between mankind and the ground, the land, the earth from which we came. More specifically, there's a connection between God's people and the land that He has promised to them. In fact, Scripture tells us that the land that was allotted to Israel, to the different tribes, and to the individual families in those tribes, that land was to be regarded as a permanent heritage. Put simply, the land and the people were entwined with one another. And, adding to that, because the land is the Lord's, well, He was entitled to make certain demands of the people. First of all, that we walk upon that land in obedience, and that we allow it to rest at the appropriate time. And that then brings us to our next point. After seven of these sabbatical years, the Shemitah, there is what is called the Yovel, or the Jubilee, the year of release, because in that year, Hebrew slaves, along with their families, were emancipated. Property, with certain exceptions, reverted back to its original owner, because it was a time of liberty and freedom, but it could only be realized if the people were being obedient to God's instructions. In other words, if they weren't keeping the Shemitah, the sabbatical year of rest, then they obviously were not going to observe the Yovel. And if they didn't observe that, then that means there would not have been a release from the bondage that they were in. Their heritage would not have been restored. And so it seems to me that these instructions, the Shemitah, the Yovel, are not so much for the protection of property, but actually serve the best interest of the people, God's people. Obedience to these ordinances brought prosperity and it brought protection, because if the people were obedient, rather than fearing for what they would have to eat in the years that they were not producing in their fields, they would find that God provided so much for them in those years that they had enough to eat until they were full through the sabbatical year. Furthermore, they were promised that if they did these things, they would dwell in the land in safety. Put simply, obedience to God results in not having to worry for our next meal or if we're going to be protected, because He promised that we would be safe from the perils of famine, drought, and war. And like the daily manna He fed Israel in the wilderness, those who are obedient would be blessed by the land that He had provided for them. And finally, there's another very important component that is found in this Torah portion, and it comes to us in Leviticus 25. And this particular issue concerns the redemption of the land in the year of Yovel, or the year of Jubilee, or release, if you prefer. The Bible describes for us certain situations whereby a person has lost his inheritance, that is, his property, and in some scenarios, there is no one who can redeem the land for him, and he's unable to redeem it for himself. And so in this scenario, the text says, if a man will have no redeemer, in other words, if the man finds himself in a hopeless situation and there is no one to help him, there is only one solution, God. Let's put it this way. If God's people, because of their own disobedience, have lost their way and consequently lost their inheritance, there is no man that can bring them back to God and to their inheritance in Him. Thus, the Creator Himself must redeem them and must bring them back to Him. In fact, Israel went into exile, and no one could redeem them from the nations. Therefore, He said He would, and He did. And while His people lay scattered among the nations, the land lay fallow. But now, as His people begin the process of returning to the land and to Him, something is happening to the land. Like I said before, I believe there's something in the ground that responds favorably when God's people walk upon it, and especially when they walk upon it in obedience. So what does all this have to say to you and to me, those of us who are, at least not yet, in the land? I believe that the principles that are discussed in this portion still apply to us. I believe that when we walk in obedience, the ground we came from still responds. When we're faithful to His covenant, blessing will follow, and those in bondage will be liberated. The blessings of liberty are the blessings of obedience. And so I will end with this passage from our Torah portion, which speaks of the Yovel, the Jubilee, but which was also inscribed upon the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's taken from Leviticus 25, verse 10, and it says this, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants." And so, ladies and gentlemen, that's all for this Torah tidbit. We'll see you next time. Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BillCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.